Good morning, brethren and sisters. This morning, our thoughts come from our New Testament daily reading for today, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. It's a chapter full of meaning and emotion. John 12 marks the final part of Jesus' public ministry. After this point, he turns his face toward the final week of his life, the week that would change everything. It's a chapter that calls us to look closely at Jesus and to ask ourselves what it really means to walk in his light. The story begins in Bethany, a small village near Jerusalem. Jesus visits the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, three of his closest friends. Lazarus had only recently been raised from the dead. So this meal is really a celebration of thankfulness and love. At the table, everyone shows their love for Jesus in a different way. Martha serves the meal, busy, caring, and as practical as always. Lazarus sits down quietly with Jesus, simply thankful to be alive and to be near Jesus. Mary does something extraordinary. She takes the expensive perfume and pours it on Jesus' feet, wiping them with her hair. The smell fills the whole house. Mary gives something very precious because she loves Jesus deeply. She doesn't hold anything back. But not everyone understands. Judas complains that the perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor. John tells us that Judas didn't really care about the poor. He wanted to steal from the money bag. Jesus gently defends Mary and says, "Leave her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." Mary seems to sense that Jesus' time is short. She wants to honour him while she still can. And she doesn't wait for a more convenient time. She acts now. This can be a lesson for us too. How often do we think that we'll visit that brother next week or encourage that sister later? Mary reminds us that love shouldn't wait. Our small acts of care, a kind word, a prayer, a visit, a note, can fill someone's life with the fragrance of Jesus. And just as the house in Bethany was filled with the smell of the ointment, our ecclesia too can be filled with the fragrance of love when we serve one another from the heart. Paul uses this same image in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15. We are to God the sweet smell of Christ. Every act of love, every small service is done for Jesus, adds that fragrance that God delights in. After this meal, the crowds begin to gather again. Mary comes to see Jesus, but some also come to see Lazarus, the man who had been dead and was alive again. Because of this miracle, many people start to believe in Jesus. But not everyone rejoices. The Jewish leaders are threatened. They even plan to kill Lazarus because his very life is proof of Jesus' power. Here we see two complete opposite reactions to the same event. Some hearts are softened by faith, while others are hardened by envy. It reminds us that belief and unbelief can sit side by side. The same truth that brings hope to one person can be rejected by another. But as disciples, we are called to stay on Mary's side, humble, grateful, and devoted, even when others oppose or misunderstand us. Faith often comes with a cost, but it also brings peace, a peace that the world cannot give. The next day, Jesus rides into Jerusalem. The crowds gather with palm branches, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord. It's a joyful and emotional scene. The people cheer and celebrate, expecting a king who will free them from Rome and restore Israel's glory. But Jesus doesn't come on a war horse like an earthly king. He rides a young donkey, a symbol of peace and humility. He fulfills the prophecy from Zechariah 9, verse 9. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king comes sitting on a donkey's colt. This is what makes Jesus so different. His power is not in pride or force, but in gentleness and obedience. He doesn't come to conquer armies, but to conquer sin. He doesn't wear a crown of gold, but will soon wear a crown of thorns. The crowd shouts, "Hosanna," meaning "save us now." Yet only days later, many of those same voices will cry, "Crucify him." Their faith was shallow. They wanted a king to fix their problems, but not to change their hearts. This can be a warning for us too. It's easy to praise Jesus when life is going well. But true discipleship means following him even when it's hard, when our prayers aren't answered the way we hope for, or when faith feels lonely. True faith is steady, not loud, it's consistent. One day, Jesus will come again, not on a donkey, but in glory, and all people will cry, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is the day that we long for and prepare for every week as we remember him in the bread and the wine. The chapter continues with Jesus saying something very deep. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much fruit." Here he is speaking of himself. Like a seed buried in the ground, his death will bring life to many. Through his sacrifice, countless people, including us, will have the hope of eternal life. But he also gives us a lesson. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, but anyone who gives up their life for me will keep it for eternal life. He is not telling us to despise life, but to live with the right priorities. If we cling to comfort, to pride, or selfishness, we will lose what matters most. But if we give ourselves to God and to others, we will find a deeper, lasting joy. Jesus adds, "If anyone serves me, let them follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honour the one who serves me." What an incredible promise that God himself will honour those who serve his Son. Sometimes our service can feel unnoticed. Setting up hall chairs, preparing food, helping a friend quietly. But God sees and he remembers. Nothing done for the love of Jesus is ever wasted. After saying these words, Jesus opens his heart. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Here we see Jesus' humanity. He feels pain, he feels fear and heaviness just like we do. He knew that the suffering was ahead, but yet he chose obedience. Then a voice comes from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd is amazed. Some think that it thundered. Others think an angel spoke. But Jesus explains, "This voice came for your sake, not mine." And then he says, "When I am lifted up from earth, I will draw all people to myself. When we look at the cross, we see that forgiveness, we see that forgiveness and mercy that never ends, and the hope that can't be taken away. Whenever we feel unworthy or discouraged, we can look to Jesus's example on the cross and remember he gave everything because he believed that we are worth saving. After speaking of his death, Jesus gives one last appeal. You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Believe in the light, that you may become children of the light. And later in the chapter he says, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. He shows us what is right and what is true. When we walk in his light, we can see clearly where we need to go. But he warns us, don't take that light for granted. It's easy to get busy or distracted and slowly drift away. Jesus calls us to walk now while we have the opportunity. We have his word, we have his example and his love, so let's use them daily. Walking in the light means choosing kindness when others are harsh, patience when we're frustrated, and forgiveness when it's hard. Even small lights can make a difference. A gentle word, a patient attitude, a helping hand, all these reflect his light in a dark world. John 12 gives us several examples we can learn from. Mary shows love and devotion. Martha shows service and practical care. Lazarus shows gratitude and quiet faith. The crowds show how belief can fade. And Jesus shows perfect obedience, courage, and love. Each one teaches us something. We can ask ourselves, do we serve like Martha, faithfully, even when no one notices? Do we love like Mary, giving our best to God? Do we live like Lazarus, thankful for being saved from death? And are we learning to follow like Jesus, trusting the Father even when life is hard? We all have different strengths, but together we can reflect the full picture of what it means to follow Jesus. Sometimes our faith feels small, but Jesus doesn't ask for perfection, only sincerity and steady, continual effort. He simply says, walk in the light. Keep moving forward and keep trusting. Let's think again about Mary. She didn't preach or perform miracles. She simply poured out her love. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance. This is what true discipleship looks like. It's quiet, it's genuine, and it's from the heart. It doesn't seek attention, it just loves. And Jesus said her act would be remembered wherever the gospel was preached. No service is too small. Every prayer, every encouragement, every quiet act of care is noticed by God. We may never see its full effect, but he does. As we share the bread and the wine today, let's remember the words of Jesus. If anyone serves me, let them follow me. Walk while you have the light. And I, when I'm lifted up, will draw all people to myself. Jesus has drawn us here today through his love, his forgiveness, and the hope of the kingdom. Let's keep following that light every day in faith, in humility and in joy. Let's keep shining it for others so they too can see the hope that we have. And when he comes again, all the darkness will be gone. The humble king who once rode into Jerusalem on a donkey will return in glory, and the whole world will cry out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Until that day, brethren and sisters, let's keep serving, keep loving, and keep walking in the light of Jesus.